pop quiz. Who is Robert Mueller?
Robert Mueller was the gentleman who's investigating President Trump.
The guy investigating Russia?
The FBI person?
The guy dealing with the lawyer guy.
Robert Mueller. Who is Robert Mueller?
I have no idea.
No idea.
I have no idea.
I don't know.
No idea.
Who's Robert Mueller?
I just totally flipped James Comey and Robert Mueller in my head.
Some in the Trump administration, I'm pretty sure, right?
He's the special counsel who's investigating potential collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia.
If your head is spinning with all the details around Michael Cohen, Robert Mueller, and the whole cast of characters tied to Donald Trump, well, I don't blame you. There's a lot going on, and we need some answers. So we're taking your questions and putting them to Marcy Wheeler. She's an independent journalist who covers national security and civil liberties at emptywheel.net, and she's been following this investigation very closely. Marcy, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me.
So we asked our listeners to send us their question, and we got a range of issues from and questions from all across the country. People want to know whether there are possibilities for an indictment or an impeachment. And our first question from our listeners takes a look back at the Trump Organization's history. Let me play it for you.
Hi, my name's Kip Thorson. I'm from Tyler, Texas. I'd like to know, what did the Russians contribute to the Trump family's reemergence from near bankruptcy from the 1990s until 2010, and why have U.S. banks denied loans to the Trump Organization since that period?
Marcy, what do you have to say to Kip?
Well, this is a detail that I think Congress, including the House Oversight Committee, is going to unpack in the next couple of months. But Don Jr. has said that in the wake of those bankruptcies, U.S. lenders did stop lending to Trump. Deutsche Bank still lent money to them. But in addition, yeah, Don Jr. said that the Russians gave them a lot of money. And really critical for the story about the 2016 election is that Michael Cohen was negotiating a deal for a Trump Tower in Moscow, which was sort of too good to be true. But the gig was he was going to get $300 million just for putting his name on the largest tower in Moscow, or largest tower in Europe. So when Don Jr. took that June 9th, 2016 meeting, the meeting where he was supposed to get dirt on Hillary Clinton, it was sold to him as part of basically a package of Russian support for Trump. And he would have known when he accepted that meeting that if he was nice to Russia, he and Dad would get a $300 million hotel deal out of it. And at the time, they were pretty underwater. They were pretty illiquid, as probably still are. And so there would have been no way they could have denied it. I mean, they really needed that kind of infusion.
We also got a couple questions from our listener text message service, and I'm going to read a couple of those to you. We got one from a listener in Lowell, Massachusetts. And the question is, quote, how long did the special counsel negotiate with Trump's lawyers to secure his written answers? And the listener from Lowell also wanted to know, did the special counsel seek to interview President Trump?
Yeah, Mueller did seek to interview Trump. There was at least a year-long negotiation starting in early 2018 and going through that entire year. Just after the elections, Trump gave written answers to Mueller. And then after Mueller received those written answers, he asked for a spoken follow-up, and Trump refused. You know, early on in the investigation, Trump's lawyers were like, yeah, sure, we'll do an interview. John Dowd, who quit, if I'm remembering correctly, March of 2018, basically said, I refuse to let you do an interview with Mueller because you're obviously going to botch it. So Trump's lawyers like to claim that Trump has been more cooperative than any president in history, and that's simply false.
I'm speaking with independent journalist Marcy Wheeler, and she's fielding your questions about all the different investigations into President Trump. Marcy, we got another call from a listener about how the president is handling this investigation, and this call comes to us from Hawaii.
Aloha, this is Orion calling from beautiful Maui. Who is paying Trump's legal bill for the probe? Thank you.
That's an interesting question. I haven't heard a lot about that. I think a lot of people want to know where our tax dollars are going. I mean, who's paying for Trump's legal bills?
Right. Well, we are partly. So Trump has two sets of lawyers. One is his personal lawyers, and that includes Rudy Giuliani and Jay Sekulow and a couple from Florida. And Rudy, at least, is working for free. It's unclear who's paying Jay Sekulow and the couple. But in addition, Trump has a White House counsel lawyer who's in charge of Russian investigation and related issues. That guy's name is Emmett Flood. Unlike Trump's private lawyers, Emmett Flood is really good, and we're paying him. Because he's a White House counsel employee, we're paying him. However, just as an example, the predecessor to Emmett Flood was a guy named Don McGahn, and he gave reportedly 30 hours of testimony to Mueller. So there's those two things.
And just to be fair, we should also ask, who is paying for the special counsel's investigation? Is that also us, Marcy?
Well, it would be taxpayers, but because Paul Manafort had to forfeit $46 million as part of his plea deal last September, that more than pays for what the special counsel has spent so far.
We have another question from a listener who wants to know about the Mueller report itself, and it's something that we heard from a lot of listeners. So let's take a listen to the call.
My name is Sarah Berry. I'm calling from Portland, Oregon. I'd really love to know, if William Barr refuses to release the full Mueller report, what recourse do we have to make it public?
So, Marcy, we've heard that there's been a little bit of back and forth about whether or not Barr would release the report. What has he said specifically, and what happens if he does not release the report?
Well, before we even get there, I want to specify that it's unclear whether Mueller thinks of that report as the big outcome of his investigation. It is the report only is meant to be prosecutions and declinations memo. So in other words, he'll go to Bill Barr and say, I did not prosecute Carter Page, but I did prosecute Roger Stone, because obviously he's been in this business for 45 years. That's what the memo may look like. He's not done. He's still withholding information because of an ongoing investigation. So I'm not sure that he believes this report is his means of communicating information to the public. And as I've written, and now more and more people are writing, every time he submits any kind of prosecutorial document, with the exception of the Paul Manafort DC sentencing memo, he has provided way more information than he would need to do. So one should assume that is his preferred way of providing information to the public. I think that if there is a report that is focused on the president, Congress absolutely, or even just the president's immediate family and friends, I think Congress will have great standing to argue, because you can't indict the president, you have to give us any reporting that you have on why you could not indict the president. I just caution readers, I'm not sure the report is what we think it's going to be.
All right. Well, that's all we have time for. We want to thank all of our listeners who sent us questions on text and via voicemail. Marcy Wheeler has been taking your questions about all things Trump as his lawyer, Michael Cohen, testifies before Congress. She's an independent journalist at emptywheel.net. Marcy, thank you as always.
Thanks so much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.